You're listening to Real World News. Food sovereignty and GMO.
No maize, no humanity, according to executive director of ETC Group. The FAO is GM contaminated due to its closeness with international seed companies, and that can be considered a tragedy for humanity. This is what Pat Mooney, executive director at the ETC Group, said yesterday in Guadalajara at the activities parallel to the Conference on Agriculture Biotechnologies in Developing Countries. Mooney stated that over the last few months, 1,500 social organizations around the world wrote to the FAO to warn on the crime against humanity suffered by Mexico with GM maize crops, and the answer of the FAO was that they couldn't intervene in a national issue. And then the FAO comes to Mexico, comes to Guadalajara, and has a conference on biotechnology on crops, the activists regretted. In addition, the FAO prevented Mexican organizations such as the National Union of Regional Peasant Organizations to participate. Mooney also talked about how world crises are an opportunity for big industries, for public-private partnerships, and an opportunity for transnational corporations to control the sector. Over the last 35 years, since the last food crisis, we've gone from about 7,000 different seed companies in the world, providing seeds to farmers, down to four companies that control more than half of the world seed market, Mooney said. The top 10 companies control two-thirds of the global commercial seed market, and the most important chemical companies went from 65 to 9, which today control 90% of the global pesticides market. And in the same way, big companies have taken control of the veterinary medicine market, taking control of livestock genetics, he added. Have you noticed how successful they have been? In 1996, there were 400 million hungry people. Last year, during the last food summit, there were 1 billion hungry people. They have been very successful, Mooney said ironically. Mooney believes that if Mexican farmers lose the fight in defense of maize, the consequences would be fatal. If you lose this fight in the center of diversity of maize, then we will lose the centers of diversity around the world. You are not just fighting in defense of maize, you are not just fighting Monsanto, you are fighting the new biomasters. We all depend on you, he concluded. We will now listen to Pat Mooney, executive director at the ETC Group, from Guadalajara, Mexico.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. I want to thank Alberto especially because of his interventions yesterday in the FAO press conference where he confronted the government and FAO in the most powerful possible way. I'm not supposed to talk about this, but I can't not talk about it. This FAO meeting that's happening in the Hilton. So give me a minute, please. What we're witnessing down the street is the GM contamination of FAO, and that's a tragedy. This whole process of the conference has contaminated FAO. It's amazing to think that over the last months, 1,500 organizations, peasant organizations and others in civil society around the world have written to FAO and said, you've got to do something here about a crime against humanity that's happening here in Mexico with the maize crop. And FAO writes back saying, we'd love to help, but unfortunately this is a national issue. We can't intervene in a national issue. And then FAO comes to Mexico, comes here to Guadalajara, and FAO has a conference on biotechnology and crops. And when farmers here, the peasants here, when Yanorka here says, we want to come and talk about GM contamination, FAO says, we'd love to have you come, but unfortunately, this is an international conference and you can't attend. So what we're witnessing here is the contamination of FAO by the multinational corporations and the cowardice of FAO to address this issue as a United Nations organization. And that's absolutely unacceptable. So when you look at crimes against humanity and the crime against humanity that comes with maize contamination, also look at the crime against humanity of the contamination of the United Nations. But I'm not supposed to talk about that, so I'll talk about what I meant to talk about. 36 years ago, once upon a time, there was a famine. And in that famine, as people died, we saw speculation in the marketplace. We saw food disappearing from the marketplace. We saw very high food prices. There was drought There are high oil prices, concerns about the future of the oil economy, and a concern that the food crisis would stay with us for perhaps many decades. Does it sound familiar? Have you heard about these kinds of crises before? So the world, or at least we, had a problem. The problem was to end hunger and to make sure that farmers were treated honorably and equitably in helping us to end hunger. We needed land reform. We needed fair markets. We needed to be treated in an equitable way. But we had a problem, but industry had an opportunity, because crises always create opportunities for somebody. The opportunity for industry was that they were faced with a marketplace that was very diversified. And that diversified market of inputs and so on, of fertilizers and agrochemicals and seeds, wasn't as profitable as it could be. For industry, there were too many seed companies, too many chemical companies, too disorganized, not enough opportunities to make profits. There was also, for industry, the problem of how to convince the public sector to stop competing with the private sector, to get them out of competition. So this was kind of the original public-private partnership. What industry proposed was, don't worry, we'll take care of hunger. All you've got to do is give us the things we need to control the marketplace. Industry said, we have this new technology. It's extremely expensive. It's very high risk in terms of our investment in research. So we need government to make space for us so that we can develop this technology in order to feed the world's hungry. And all the government had to do were about three things. First, they had to change the patent system to make it possible to own life, to actually have patent monopolies over all the aspects of living things. Just change the laws a little bit. And in terms of regulation, you've also got to look the other way when we have mergers between different sectors of the economy. Don't worry about competition policy. Allow pesticide companies to buy seed companies and allow pharmaceutical companies to buy all of them. And the second thing industry wanted from government was for government to stop competing with industry. In this public-private partnership they were proposing, the public had to disappear so that there should no longer be public research that's directly linked to farmers, to peasants. It should be public research that only goes to the companies, no one else. And the third thing that they had to do was to convince the small enterprises in the private sector, the small family seed companies, the small industries, that they couldn't compete as well because this technology is just too big, too expensive for the little companies to survive. So they needed to surrender. They needed to be bought. And they got that too. So over the last 35 years, since the last food crisis, what has happened is that we have gone from about 7,000 different seed companies in the world providing seed to farmers down to four companies that control more than half of the world's seed market. And the top 10 companies, they're just barely 10, control two-thirds, more than two-thirds of the global commercial seed market. And the chemical companies have gone from about 65 major companies now to the point where we can barely count 9 major companies who control more or less 90% of the commercial pesticide market. And in the same way, they've taken control of the veterinary medicines market, and in the same way, they've taken control of livestock genetics. And as you know, the top pesticide companies are also the top seed companies in the world, and they're also the veterinary medicine companies, and many of them are now moving into livestock genetics and the control of livestock. And around the world, the public sector has withered and is dying, And that which is left, that small part of the public sector that is left, is entirely in the service of the private sector, in service of the big companies. And of course, the great technology they proposed 35 years ago that was going to solve the problems of world hunger is biotechnology, it's transgenics. Have you noticed how successful they've been? Have you noticed? In 1996, there were 400 million hungry people. Last year, during the next food summit, the last food summit, there were 1 billion hungry people. They've been very successful. But we still have a problem. Hunger, injustice, the destruction of peasant agriculture around the world. So now the United Nations meets again, and we're here in Guadalajara, and they say, well, we have a problem. We have a food crisis. We have a fossil fuel crisis. We have a financial crisis. We have a climate crisis. What are we going to do? And industry is here in Guadalajara saying, don't worry, we have a solution. We're even moving beyond biotechnology, and we're now talking about synthetic biology. We have another generation of technologies that will take care of your problems for you. The problem, according to industry, is that we've been thinking about this issue the wrong way. We've been thinking about things like food and seeing our land as a place for medicines and seeing our land as a place to live. In fact, really, it's all just carbohydrates. It's all just biomass. We don't need any longer to have plant breeders to grow food or to breed for new food crops. We don't need farmers to grow food crops. What we need to do is to grow biomass. And at the end of the day, we can decide how to use that biomass. Will it be used to feed our cars, feed our people, feed our cattle, make plastics, make other industrial goods? Is simply biomass. The problem for industry, of course, is to convince us that this new technology is the way to go, this next extreme genetic engineering, this next level of biotechnology is the solution to all of our problems. But they are saying this is the solution as well to climate change. As we find our crops in trouble as the climate changes, as we face new pests and new diseases, we need to go to this extreme approach in order to be able to rapidly adjust to new conditions that we've never experienced before. And they say, just trust us. So our problem of hunger is industry's new opportunity, once again. And their opportunity is boiled down to one simple fact. And that fact is, for them, is that today, less than one quarter of the world's annual terrestrial biomass is actually being used, is actually, as they see it, commodified in the marketplace. So for industry, that means that three quarters of the world's biomass can still be commodified. That's out there to be controlled, to be owned by industry. They need to create a new technological myth to give them access to that three quarters of the world's biomass. If you're farming here in Mexico, you know that there is no spare biomass. You know that it is all used by either Mother Nature to maintain the ecosystems, or it is used for medicines, or it is used for livestock, or it is used for food, but it is always used, it always has a place. It is absurd, dishonest, and disgraceful to suggest that the world's biomass is unused. But unowned, uncontrolled biomass is a crime against industry. And that crime against industry, they want to stop here in this country now in controlling the centers of diversity for crops and in controlling maize. The most important fight right now, and it's a fight not just for you in Guadalajara or in Mexico, but it's a fight for all of us in the world, is to make sure that maize stays as it has been throughout history, that maize continues to be of the land and of the people of Mexico. That's the most important battle. If you lose here in the center of diversity of maize, then we will lose in the centers of diversity around the world. We can't win if you lose. But you're not just fighting. You're not just fighting for maize, and you're not just fighting Monsanto. You're fighting the new biomasters and their new controls that they propose over technologies. And we all depend upon you. I've seen the signs that say, no maize, no country. It's not enough. No maize, no humanity. We need it. If you lose here, we all lose. Thank you.
You're listening to Real World News.